Hey everybody, welcome to Learning from Smart People. My name is Rob Oliver and I am your host. Today my guest is MJ Calloway, CSP. She is an award-winning author, a motivational speaker, a corporate trainer known for shifting attitudes and converting strategies into results. A two-time cancer survivor, her sweet spot is resilience and revenue rescue. A couple fun facts about MJ. She's biked down a volcano in Maui. She's played tug of war with a baby black bear in Michigan and ziplined over gators in Alabama. MJ, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Rob. I have to say, when you read that about my adventures there, it always makes me smile because it brings up those memories of some really fun, exciting, and also some scary times. So, but thank you for sharing that with your audience.
Absolutely. Listen, we're all going through some rough times right now with experience this whole COVID-19 and everything. You've gone through some adversity in the past few years, including a very dire prognosis. Can you give our audience a little bit of background about that?
Absolutely. And you are so right. To date, everybody is facing some type of adversity. Whether you are still working, you are now trying to work from home, which brings so many challenges with it. And anyone who has been furloughed or laid off, you have more adversities. If you can't find toilet paper, it's another one, especially if you have a family. So some of the adversities that I have been through, so I get why people are really struggling today, because I know what it's like to struggle. So I know what adversity is like. So in the fall of 2016, I was diagnosed with breast cancer. That was the first time. And I was given a 20% chance of survival if chemo didn't work. Yeah, that's talk about having a rough day. That was definitely a rough day. And chemo had a 50% chance of working. So the odds weren't really in my favor. So that was the first time.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of things that you have to dig down and do. And one of the things that helped me was pulling on what I call unshakable, my unshakability, and also my conviction. And I'll talk about that in a little bit. But going back to, so that was, you know, fortunately, I am here today. There's, you know, through my power team, part of that power team is the doctors, the staff. It's being persistent. It's changing lifestyles. And it's looking at the whole body that helped me there. And then in June of 2019, I was diagnosed a second time. So a few more surgeries there. So a total of 6 surgeries and a lot of treatment in between.
Right.
Yeah, I know a little bit about adversity.
Tell me a little bit about, you talked about putting on unshakability. Is it, that was your words, right?
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Unshakability or being unshakable is one of my core fundamentals. It's one of the fundamentals I share in my programs that are called Bounce Up, and it's also in my book. What that means is that belief in yourself, that core belief that you know that you can do it, and it doesn't matter what life has thrown your way, you believe in you. And whether you have the skills or the characteristics, that doesn't matter. It's that belief. So, and I share that from thinking about, if anybody remembers Bethany Hamilton, Soul Surfer, she has a book and a movie out. You know, she is a prime example of that unshakability. She had that shark attack, lost an arm. A month after surgeries and getting out of the hospital, she was back in the water. She had that unshakable belief in herself and what she loved to do, to face down fears. Because there's definitely, there'd be a fear. I don't know about you, Rob, but I would definitely be thinking, oh, I'm not sure I'm getting back in that water.
Definitely. I understand it completely.
So with it, it's that unshakable belief in you.
Okay. So it's interesting to me because most people talk about going through a rough time and they want to bounce back from that experience. You used a different term. You used the term bounce up. Tell me about the difference between bouncing back and bouncing up.
Thank you for noticing that. There's a huge difference between the two. So let's just talk about bounce back first. So when I think about my own adversity, so before I was diagnosed, my business model was not first scalable. It also was a business model that was making me run all over the place. I had a lot of stress with it. Also at the time, my eating habits were completely a mess. So I was moment by moment. And what's crazy about this is in 2004, I actually co-authored a book about organization. And it's funny because I was so much more organized when I had children at home than as a single person. So it was one of those eye-openers for me. But back to bounce back. So if I went through all those treatments and I bounced back to where I was before the treatment, number one, I'm setting myself back up for failure. Number two, I'm adding more stress to my life and I never learned my lesson. I sure as heck did not want to bounce back to where I was in the fall of 2016. One, my life is so much better today than it was before. So with bounce up, it's a chance for us to reinvent ourselves, to do something totally different than we did before. And it's to be intentional. When we bounce back, we're not intentional. When we bounce up, we are very intentional, we are very strategic, and we are being proactive, not reactive. So that's the difference between them. And bounce up, think about it. It's just more fun, because take the image of a ball and bouncing up. So think of like a basketball bounces up, and then think of a hacky sack. So when you drop it, it stays there. And that's what I visualize with bounce back. You're right back there.
It makes so much sense to me because, going through some adversity myself, I don't want to get back to just where I was. My mom taught me when I was little, the bumps are what you climb on. And the idea of going through a very traumatic and difficult experience, it should be a learning opportunity, and we're able to improve our lives and have a better quality of life after going through that, because it really makes you think about what your life truly is about and what's actually important. Can you give us some ideas about then how do you bounce up instead of just getting back to where you were? What are some guidelines for bouncing up?
Oh, thank you. And you have definitely been through adversity, so you can understand what I went through, even though it's different challenges, you get that struggle of going through that adversity. So I just wanted to acknowledge you for what you have been through too.
Well, thank you.
Sure. So with the one thing, and there's a number of things that I'll go through. So create your power team. We've all heard the quote saying you are the average of the five people around you. And a lot of people think about that and then they're not quite sure what to do with it, or they either don't do anything or they try to add more people that can help them get to where they are. They're not strategic about it. I call that a power team. Create your power team. I do this in all of my courses. I do this in my workshops and my trainings. And I talk about creating your power team. So your power team, depending upon what you want, and I'll use an example both personally and professionally. So with personally, I needed a power team because I didn't share a lot of my journey in the beginning. In fact, I'm only now at this point sharing my journey with the public and with my audiences. With personal power team, what I had was I had people on a prayer team. So I had 2 to 3 people that were really strong in prayer who were on my power team. And then I had someone who I could vent or cry to that would give me a kick in the butt. And that's my friend Andrea. So she's like a get it done. When I was diagnosed the second time, I really hit a funk for about 2 weeks. And right. You know, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, with everything I did, I can't believe it. So, but things happen, you know, and we have to find a way to bounce up from it. So we were talking one day and she said, MJ, just think of, because the second time it was a grain of rice, the size of it was a grain of rice.
Okay.
Awesome. We cut it immediately. So, and what happened, it was actually leftover from the first time. So she said, imagine how big it would be now, that tumor, if you didn't do all those things. So it was great. So Andrea is I can vent to her, but it is a one-time vent. It is a kick butt, get it over and move on. So we all need that type of person in our life. And then somebody you can just bounce ideas off of. And personally, during that time, it was bouncing off, okay, what can I do during my sofa surfing days? Because I had 10 days after treatment where I was on the sofa. That sounds so much better than what it actually was. So
I think that in the middle of all of this COVID-19 stuff, the idea of sitting at home with nothing to do and just being able to relax, eventually you go stir crazy with that. So it's a very similar concept.
It is. And everything that I set up through going through treatment is what people can do today through this crisis. You're absolutely right. So that was another person on my power team. My family was on my power team because they were supportive. They went grocery shopping for me when I couldn't do it. You know, I stayed with my son and daughter-in-law for the 2 weeks after each surgery because I had 8 weeks where I wasn't allowed to drive or work or anything. It was recovery time. And I did that 6 times over 3.5 years. So wow. It's a lot of downtime. And my daughter went to the hospital with me for surgeries. So that was another part of my power team. And then my whole medical team, I looked at them as part of my team, not they were above me. When you look at them as part of your team, you're able to ask questions. You're able to make decisions. You're able to be your own advocate. You're able to be persistent. And I'll give you an example of that. So I had a surgery in August, and then I had to have a follow-up surgery in December or January. I wanted it in December because I could get it through the holiday and not lose as much work time. And they were pushing me to have it in December. January did not have enough time. I was very persistent. And because I was persistent the whole way through, they were used to me being persistent. And I did get that surgery on December 26th. Which actually worked out in my favor because of what we're going through today. I would have still been having follow-up visits afterwards if I would not have had that surgery until January or February. So consider any type of medical team on part of your power team. Now, for the professional power team, you want an accountability partner, a mentor. You want somebody who is kick your butt in action. And you want somebody that you can brainstorm with, you know, knock out ideas. And then the flip side of that power team is you have to identify who keeps you stuck. Who are the maybe toxic people in your life that you need to limit time with because they're not good for whatever destination you want to hit, forever, whatever goal you want to reach. And that happens. I had to do that with a few people through the past 4 years because it wasn't good for me. The last part of that, it's part of power team, but it's also part of the unshakability part, is come up with what is your goal through whatever crisis you're going through. Think about it, at the end of April, because right now we're on April 30th, unless you have viewers who are in Virginia, they're on June 10th. So on April 30th or June 10th, what is it you want to say that you did through the end of it? So through the first round of treatment, my thing was, will this keep me safe and will this get me to influence in 2017?
What is influence?
Influence is the premier yearly conference for speakers.
Okay.
So it's through the National Speakers Association. They hold this once a year. It's usually in the summer. And I had, in early October of 16, I had gained professional membership. And Rob, as you know, that is a destination or designation that we have to achieve through a certain criteria.
Sure.
And I had never attended it before that. Now, the doctors told me my chances of actually reaching there, of actually going, were pretty slim because of the treatment plan I was on was pretty intense. In fact, the PA had said to me at one point, MJ, we don't put many people on this cocktail because they wouldn't make it.
Wow.
And it means exactly what you're probably thinking it means.
Yeah.
So my goal and my thought was, through all of it, the question to myself was, if I do this, if I say yes to this, will it keep me safe? Or is it going to put me in jeopardy? Because if I would have caught a cold or the flu or a virus, it would have been a fast track to the hospital.
Wow.
And it would have delayed every other part of the treatment.
Obviously, the parallel to today and people needing to be safe and to keep themselves away from infection, it's a very similar circumstance to what people are experiencing today. It's amazing. I don't want to interrupt your story, but I'm thinking here of two things. Number one, a lot of the presentations that I do are for medical professionals to talk about patient and family-centered care. And it's just what you said earlier, making sure that we are all on the same level when it comes to developing a plan of care, and that my input is just as valuable as the doctors and nurses' input. And then the other thing I'm thinking is, in all of this, what kind of mental dialogue is going on in your head? Surely it's got to be rough mentally.
Definitely. And I was in a better place only because I had a technique that I call Flip It, which I created. It's funny how I created it. My son played college ball and he was on a D3 team. So our schools were further away. And one of them, I live in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. One of the schools was Pitt Bradford, which was a 4-hour drive. And it is have to go through parts of Erie that's considered the snow belt. So this one game in the middle of January, on the way up, I was hitting snow. And when I did get to the gym, my son's coach, and another parent said, please tell me you did not drive by yourself. And I said, yes, you know, I was a single parent. Of course I was driving by myself. You know, I was used to doing that. And they're like, oh my goodness, MJ, please stay overnight and do not drive back. Well, I should have listened. I will tell you, I did not. On the way home, there's like a whiteout, and I'm thinking, please don't wreck, please don't wreck, please don't wreck. And then I said, MJ, what are you doing? You know, your mental talk to yourself is negative. So I flipped it and I said, and there it is, flipped it and said, safe and sound, safe and sound, safe and sound. I chanted safe and sound the entire way home. So okay. When it came to this journey, I flipped it. You know, I didn't put that mental negativity in my head, you know, and I was just, you will make it, you will make it, you will make it. You know, I had all these different types of verbiage that went through my head. The other thing that I did, Rob, that I'd love to share is I went dressed to every single appointment as I dress for a business meeting. And my business attire is a skirt, a blouse, a cardigan or a jacket with hose and heels, you know, jewelry set up. And I continued that the whole way through treatment because my mental thought there, and this is, I talk about mental drive, was this is a date with my future self.
Wow. See, I was looking at it from a different perspective. I was thinking about, okay, what you're representing to your power team, the medical part of your power team is, hey, you guys are medical professionals. I'm a professional too. I have a place at the table, but I hadn't considered that idea of I am having an engagement with my future self. That's so incredible. And your thoughts about changing that inner dialogue, that's fantastic. And I'd love to hear more about that.
Oh, so what I share in it with my audience is look at whatever negativity is coming in your head. stop, write it down in the left column, and then in the right column, flip it. And the reason I suggest handwriting rather than just doing it mentally is because it goes back to research where write it down, make it happen. So when we write it down, we actually can see what we are saying to ourselves. And then when we flip it, now the last part of it, that's the positivity. That's the positive part that now is in our head. And then I turn it into a chant because we need to say it a few times so that it sticks. So for me, it's all about sticking. And that's the same with, so give you a couple of other examples, is chemo is a negative word. Let's face it, because it just has lots of images with it.
Absolutely.
I never called it chemo during the journey. And even in my book, I share what I call it. I call it magic wand because I looked at it as this wand every time I had it. And I was 7 hours with IV each time I went. So it was a long process. I called it my magic wand. Everybody else called it my magic wand. The nurses there, and they knew, here's another one, is I didn't like to be called a patient. I always said, I'm a guest because I'm not staying. I'm a guest.
Right.
And it just gives you a different mindset. I switched like the tumor. I called it the pink pumpkin. The days on the couch, sofa surfing, I called radiation Buzz because it made me think of Buzz Lightyear. And Buzz Lightyear, and it was a big machine. It was a huge machine that clicked, you know. So I thought about Buzz Lightyear every time I talked about Buzz. And what that did for the medical staff is they laughed, they chuckled, and it also helped them with their mental attitude because I had a better one.
I love that. That is an amazing way to just really change the way that you talk. And when you change the way that you talk, it changes the way that you think. What do you think comes first, the change in vocabulary or the change in mindset?
The mindset shift takes a little bit longer. So there's a number of things that have to go into it. It's not quite as easily said or easily done as easily said. I would suggest the first part is to start changing your vocabulary. Because when you change your vocabulary, you start changing your mindset.
Okay. Do you have any tips for, I am not a good chanter person. I feel silly when I'm doing it. Do you have any tips for people that say, like, this is a little bit outside of my comfort zone?
Sure. And it is out of people's comfort zone. I'll share something quickly with you is, you get in the habit of it. It becomes a habit. That's the first step. So it becomes such a habit that you do it in places you don't even realize it. One time I was in a grocery store and I started chanting. I was trying to fit in some grocery shopping in between a meeting. And it was like, you will make it MJ. You will make it MJ. And my voice sounds horrible. So this woman looked at me and she's like, you get it, girl. And so we just started laughing. And I said, oh, you know, they say, you know, the sign of a genius is talking to yourself, you know, we just made fun of it. But so the first thing is go ahead and write it down and then say it, you know, say it out loud to yourself. If you need to go into a separate room, it's okay. Once you start doing it, then your family also comes into the action. You know, it now becomes a family plan. So write it down first. Second, say it out loud. However you flipped it, say it out loud. And continue to say it out loud. Catch yourself, say it out loud. And then put it to some type of a jingle. You know, think of a jingle or a part of a song and put it kind of to that tune. And then it becomes more of a song to you than it becomes a chant.
Wow. So it's interesting when you say that because what I'm hearing is that it becomes not something just that you think in your mind, but it's something that you are writing down. So it becomes an action that you're doing. And then when you write it down, you see it. And then when you are verbalizing it, you are both speaking it and you are hearing it. So it's a multifaceted way in which you are making that a part of yourself and a part of your mindset. That's amazing. And I guess the other piece of that is there are opportunities for this all around us. And it's something that we can do every day.
Absolutely. There's so many opportunities. With one of the things that to find opportunities is to be open to them. That's first. The second part to opportunities is improvising. How can you improvise? So think, here's another question that you can ask yourself. And this is a key question, is what can I do right now with what I have? What that does, Rob, is it takes us out of worry, it takes us out of negativity, and it switches our brain to start thinking, because we now asked our brain a question. And when we ask our brain a question, it now puts us into action and being proactive, not reaction or reactive.
Got it. MJ, this has been phenomenal. If people want to learn more, you've written a book. How many books have you written?
This one that will come out at the end of April, not sure when you're playing, so April, May, it will be out. It's called Bounce Up, and it is outpower. I like to say outpower adversity rather than overcome it, because then we're using power. So outpower adversity, boost resilience, and rebound higher. So and this is number 8 for me.
Wow.
I know.
Congratulations.
Exciting. Thank you. So this is one that, because I've been published both traditionally and then also digitally, and I've self-published. So I have published through whatever media is out there, I've been published through it. So it's a fabulous experience.
Awesome. MJ, let me just say that at the end of every show, here's what I do. We have established that I have learned from you. We've established that you are a smart individual. What we do is we do 3 questions to establish your humanity. And these are just to give us a little bit of insight into who you are and teach us about who you are as a person. Question number 1 is, what is your most used emoji in texting?
Smiley face. No doubt about it.
And I would expect nothing else. What was your favorite subject in school?
Gym.
All right.
I was a cheerleader, so, you know, that kind of goes with the territory.
Got it. Do you like to cook?
I like to cook for company. I like to cook for family. I love to cook when I'm entertaining. It's okay cooking for myself.
Got it. And what's your best dish?
My best dish, I would say, is probably eggplant parmesan.
Wonderful. Well, whenever this whole COVID thing is over and you want to invite my family over for some eggplant parmesan, if it gives you joy to cook for us, I'm happy to offer.
Sounds so, like a plan. We'll wait till I can use my deck. So it's a prettier view.
Wonderful. Okay, so a couple things. Number 1, you've been very generous and you've offered something for the audience. What have you offered for us?
Oh, 7 ways you can bounce up. It is an infographic. You can go to my website. In fact, it's my web designer is putting it up as we speak, because I figured people need this right now. So they can go to the bottom of the homepage and go ahead and sign up, and then it will switch them that they can download it immediately. But it is 7 ways that you can bounce up.
So MJ, what is your website and what is any other way that people can get a hold of you?
Okay. My website is mjcalloway.com. And Calloway is spelled like Calloway Golf. Callaway. A lot of people want to put an O in there, so that's why I always specify. So it's Calloway, like the golf. And I golf, so that's kind of fun.
There you go. That works out well. MJ, I just want to thank you so much for being on the show. It has been fantastic. This has been Learning from Smart People. I'm your host, Rob Oliver. And as a reminder, when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.